All right, so open your Bibles to Romans 8 and Proverbs 29. So I've been to 3 men's retreat in 4 years with Calvary Aurora. And 2 out of the 3 have been about courage. I don't know if you guys remember a couple years ago, we went up with Rocky Mountain Calvary, and it was called Strength and Courage, and it was from Joshua. They spent the whole time in Joshua. And it got me thinking, isn't it interesting that men's retreats are about courage? You know, why is that theme something we're drawn to? Why is that something we want to go to that conference? And I thought about it. It's kind of like, you know, having a conference for women about, you know, about how to like romantic movies or how to share your feelings. Aren't we supposed to be courageous? We're men, right? You know, why do we go to a conference to learn that? You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if there's a noise in the house in the middle of the night, it's not my wife who goes and looks at what it is. You know, it's me. That might be because I'm afraid of what she'll do to me if I don't get up and go look. But, you know, I'm supposed to be the courageous one. You know, you go down there with the flashlight or your baseball bat ready to die, and it's the cat, and he knocked over a glass of water. And you know, but, you know, we're supposed to be the courageous ones. You know, and we love stories of courage. Caleb and Joshua and David. We just love reading those stories, hearing about it. You know, I love the story of Caleb. He's 85 stinking years old, and he goes to Joshua and says, "Give me my mountain. I want to go conquer this mountain. I'm young. I can take it. I can do it. Let me do it." I'm just, you know, I love that story, man. There's a guy who's just on fire. He's passionate. You know, I think it really, the concept of courage speaks to our hearts. We desire to have that bravery. We love stories like Braveheart, man. That's like top 10 movie for every guy. You know, you just love that story. You know, our wives are like, "Why do you like that movie? Everybody dies." You know, but we love the story of just, you know, going and sacrificing, going and being brave. You know, there's a guy that takes on an entire kingdom on his own. You know, he rallies the men around him, and they go and they change their country. You know, we love, I think it's one of the reasons we like video games. Maybe not all that many of you are as young as I am, but we love video games. And we love going and playing the hero and leading an army and conquering the enemy. We love the UFC because it's got that, man, and you go in there, man against man, and you have that bravery to go and fight. You know, we love that sort of thing. I think the other reason that the theme of courage speaks to us is we all have fears. You know, we all have deep fears of failure. We have fears about our insecurities. We have fears of being lonely, hurt. We fear pain. We fear people knowing that we're afraid. You know, we fear our circumstances, especially things we can't control. I think sometimes we even fear, we're afraid of God. We're afraid he doesn't really love us. We're afraid that he's going to be disappointed with us. We have all these fears deep inside of us. So when we read about courage, we just, man, we get fired up because we want that. We desire it. It speaks to our hearts. So I looked up a definition of fear, and I know Pastor Ed went over this yesterday, but everything in my study is stuff that's already been covered because I think that's what the Lord wants to do. He just, it's the same thing, you know? Every study is our need for Jesus and his provision for that need. You know, and so we're covering the same stuff again, but just maybe from a different angle. So the definition of fear I found was a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc., whether the threat is real or imagined. The definition of courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. They're connected. They're the same thing. It's a response to the same circumstances. Respond with a distressing emotion, or you can respond without fear. Now, you know, when I look at the dictionary's definition, I go, well, what's the key to courage? You know, I think Pastor Ed mentioned it the first night. Do I need to go out in the woods and put mud on my face and pound my chest and make a sword out of a stick? You know, is that how I become courageous? You know, there's no provision, and you read the dictionary, it doesn't provide for that need of courage. It doesn't tell you how to be courageous. You know, watching that movie doesn't tell you how to be courageous. You know, I was William Wallace brave. He was brave. You know, that's what the Bible's so good for, because the Bible provides that. I think you can change that definition of courage to be the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, or pain without fear through trusting in Jesus. That's the solution. That final phrase is what makes it work for us. And as we head back down into town this morning, we're going to face battles. You know, the Lord's done a work in your heart. I don't know what it may be, but he's challenged you. He's encouraged you. He's He desires to free you from addictions. He's a desire to free you from discouragement and to make you bold for him. But we're going to face difficulty with that because the devil's not happy about that. And it's going to be attacked immediately. Our flesh isn't happy about it. It's going to be attacked. And I think one of the main ways he's going to attack us is through fear. Bring circumstances of danger, evil, pain, discomfort. And so my study this morning is just a couple of verses, a couple kinds of fear that I think that we're going to face, that the Lord wants us to be prepared to face, to not be surprised when they come. So we're going to start in Proverbs 29, verse 25. And this is a verse that the Lord has been applying to my heart consistently for about a year, year and a half. And I know somebody, I think actually it's kind of funny because I think that's basically what Henry taught about yesterday. But I just want to hit it again. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." And I thought about fear. That's one of the fears that really comes up for me. You know, I really worry about what people think about me. I really care. You know, I care what my bosses think, my wife thinks, my friends think. I care what you guys think. And, you know, sometimes that gets in our way. Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. When I looked up the word fear in my Hebrew dictionary, one of the words that came up that really stuck with me is anxious care. Anxious care. I'm anxious and I care. You know, like it's just this kind of something in the back of your mind. Worrying about what people think, what they may say, what they may do. And, you know, it can look like a lot of things. Fear of conflict, fear of disappointing people, being anxious about what other people think about us. It can be shame. It can be mind reading, people pleasing. It can look like all kinds of stuff. You know, it can look like compromise a lot of times. There's a lot of different ways that fear affects what we do. You know, if you think about it, we spend a lot of time on that. We spend a lot of time on what other people think about us. Well, you know, when we go to the store to buy clothes, what are we thinking about? What are people going to think about how this looks on me? When you buy a car, you know, you're kind of thinking about what people think of it. You know, we spend a lot of time on our hair, on our clothes, on our degrees, on these things that are for people to see. And, you know, but in the spiritual realm, we often, it causes us to change what we're doing, you know, to compromise at work, to compromise with our friends, to worry about what people are doing instead of trusting the Lord and obeying Him. And, you know, it says there that the fear of man brings a snare. I think it's interesting being in the mountains reading about a snare. I thought of just, you know, a snare as a hunting device. You know, it's a pretty simple device from my understanding. It's just usually a loop of cord, you know, with the little cinching mechanism on it, and whatever animal gets into it, it tightens up. You know, and when you get snared, you're not only trapped, but your life is threatened. You can't move, you can't get away. You know, I think of a snare being just like a steel cable. It bites into your leg. If you're a bear, you know, you're going to start fighting with it. As you fight with it, it gets tighter. You're totally derailed. You know, and the Bible says that when we fear what men think about us, it derails our spiritual walk. The things the Lord wants to do in your life, fear of man can derail that work. You know, this has happened in the Bible. In John chapter 12, a bunch of the Pharisees started to really believe in Jesus. But it says, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Can you think, when you think about that? Man, they missed the opportunity to be personally discipled by the Son of God because of fear of losing some position in the world. I mean, just someday, you know, they're regretting that right now. What a crazy regret. You know, and I think, you know, this can happen to us too. And you know, it's usually pride. We're worried about what people think. We're worried about disappointing people. It's pride. It's selfishness. It's a sense that we know exactly what's going on. We can read people's mind and we can make them happy. But it doesn't matter. You know, the Bible says, in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, "There's only one we should fear. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell.
Yes, I say to you, fear him. How does that relate to our lives?
You know, stepping up for the Lord is going to be unpopular with people. You know, some of you are going to have to change who you hang out with. Your friends aren't going to, you know, the Lord is really showing you, your friends don't lead you to Jesus. Don't encourage you in that. You know, they're going to harass you for it. And some of them, you know, like Henry was talking about yesterday, his coworkers. We can't defriend his coworkers. He's got to work with them every day. But they're going to harass him for his faith. Some of you are going to have that. You're going to come back and you go, man, the Lord did a work in my life. I'm a changed man. And they're going to go, yeah, right. Let's see how long before I can get you to compromise in that. You're going to be afraid of that, or are you going to trust in the Lord? You know, I think even a subtle one that we have to be prepared for is those closest to us. As the Lord has convicted us on how we could love our wives better and love our kids better. Your kids know you better than anybody. Your wife knows you better than anybody. And you haven't been the best husband or father. Well, you've trained them to not trust you. And they're going to take a while to get over some of the things you've done to them. And they're going to say, yeah, he came back and says he's all fired up and he's a new man. But I'm going to watch. I'm going to see. And they might not be as excited about as you are about what the Lord's done in your life for a while. And we have to be prepared to not fear that. We're prepared to trust in the Lord, to just rest in the fact that you're doing it because you're obeying the Lord, because you love him, because he's done a work in your life. You know, the final piece of that verse that really spoke to me is, it says, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The word trust is a word that oftentimes I think we think of as like a state of being. I trusted in the Lord for my salvation. I'm a Lord truster. You know, like it's this thing that happens once. But it's a verb. It's an action. It's a choice. It's a repeated thing. So, you know, as you struggle with some of these kinds of discouragement, you know, you need to trust in the Lord. It's an active choice to not care what people think, not worry if they're disappointed, but to worry about what God thinks about the things he's asked you to do in your life, the areas he's asked you to sacrifice and to grow and to be sold out. Trust in the Lord. And that verse at the end says, shall be safe. But a closer translation of that would be exalted, be lifted high. You know, and the Lord, you know, I look forward to hearing from the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the desire of my heart for my life. And that's what I think of when I think of that word, be exalted, be lifted high. I desire to hear that from the Lord. And this verse says that if I'm worried about what men think, I won't get to hear that. But if I trust in the Lord, I'll get to hear that. That I'll be exalted and lifted high before him. And I can give him the glory for the work he's done in my life. You know, and we talked about courage a second ago. There it is. There's the key. Trust in the Lord. So there's one piece of fear that I think we need to be prepared for. Here's another one. And turn with me to Romans 8. Fear of our flesh. You know, as we come up here, you know, the Lord, often some of the things he has to deal with us is things of the flesh, sins of the flesh, you know. A lot of you guys are struggling with pornography or alcohol or anger. These things that come from our flesh. And, you know, sometimes it's so easy to be just absolutely overwhelmed and intimidated by our flesh. We're like, man, I don't know how to not do that. Everything inside of me wants to not do X, but I do it anyways. And it just, sometimes you're just totally intimidated by your flesh. You think, no, nothing can fix this. There's no power on earth that's going to be able to save me from this. But that's not what the Bible says. And so pick up with me in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please the Lord. First point that comes out of that, we're going to read a few more verses, but just that section right there. What that's saying is you can't defeat the flesh with the flesh. You know, I struggled with pornography for 13 years. And I had a section of 3 or 4 years in the middle of that where I never touched pornography. But it didn't change the fact that I was still addicted to pornography because it was because of consequences and fear and striving and struggling. And man, as soon as some of those consequences got out of the way, I was right back at it. My heart wasn't changed. The spirit didn't. I wasn't walking in the spirit. I was doing it in the flesh. I was white knuckling it. You know, sometimes we just strive. We're like, man, okay, Lord, I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna pray. I'm just gonna be just sold out. You come back and you're like, you come back from one of these retreats. You're like, man, I feel so close to God. I'm never gonna sin again. And your flesh goes, yeah, right. Boom, trips you right up. And it's because we're doing it in the flesh. You can't fight the flesh with the flesh.
It says, if we walk according to the flesh, and for, you know, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then this next section we'll read through is just talking about how, you know, we have to be saved to have the Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you.
Man, if you're a believer, if you've given your life to Christ, this that says that you have the Spirit of God in you.
And that last verse is so powerful. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
The same power that was able to raise Christ from the dead is able to bring life from your sinful flesh. You know? That's the power.
Verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
We don't have to be afraid of our flesh. We don't have to be intimidated by it or discouraged by it or surprised by it. We're not debtors to it. We're not beholden to it. Christ has defeated it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we allow him to work, it's a two-part thing. You know, you need to allow him to work, but you also have to let him do the work.
Then, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
That's the power. You know, when I was freed from pornography, I can't even tell you what happened. There was no point. There was no, you know, hey, man, I'm free now. It was just the Lord changed my heart. I just started seeking the Lord, trusting in him, allowing him to work in my life. And before you knew it, I just had no interest. It blew me away. I couldn't believe it. You know, it was just not attractive to me. And I thought, I don't know how you did that, but that's amazing. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He changes your desires. He's capable of changing your flesh.
It says, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And we don't have to be given to fear
of our flesh or fear of anything. You know, a little kid, they're not afraid when you're around. They come and they hold your hand. And they, you know, they think you can take on anything. And that's the attitude we need to have as we face fears in our lives. You're just holding on to the hand of the Lord, allowing him to carry us through and encourage us through things, trusting in him. You know, that's the theme. I don't know if you've heard it this whole weekend. Humility, trust, brokenness. You know, we need to come before the Lord desperate for him to do it and allow him to do it in our lives. And that's been throughout every study. And, you know, this verse just confirms it. We're children of God and we need to live like it. We need to think like it. You know, our emotions are so wishy-washy, man. They go back and forth and we feel so afraid. We feel so overwhelmed. But we can't trust our emotions. We can trust in the Lord. We can trust in his word. And we can trust in our position before him. We're children of God. He loves us. He's forgiven us. You know, one of the ways the Lord really, that we get really attacked is addressed by the first verse in chapter 8 of Romans, which is condemnation, man. You trip up, the devil is right there to go, ha, can't believe you. I knew you'd do that. You're a loser. You'll never figure it out. You know, and we if we listen to that, if we buy into those emotions, those thoughts, those feelings, we're derailed. It's over. We're off on his track because he can keep us under discouragement and condemnation.
We need to remember these final verses here that says we're children of God. We've been adopted. And the Spirit, and it says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may be glorified together. And that kind of leads into the next section I wanted to talk about.
which is fear of failure. And I believe it was Pastor Ed talked about that yesterday. I mean, there's almost nothing that we fear more than failure. And my generation is even worse about it. You know, the younger we are, this seems the more averse to failure we are. We'll avoid things just because of the possibility of failing. I don't even want to have the possibility of failing. And, you know, I think it really can mess us up spiritually. You look at the Israelites in the desert. The Lord does these amazing things. He parts the Red Sea for them. He brings these plagues upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He provides for them in the desert. There's the Shekinah glory in the cloud, you know, just leading them, providing shade for them. And the Lord does all these amazing things. And then they come to the border, and they didn't go in. They died in the desert because of fear. They all died. There's no, like, redemption for them in that sense that they never got to see that. And it was just one opportunity that the Lord gave them. He opened the door. And then went, man, I'm afraid I might fail. I'm not going in. You know, I think that happens in our lives. The Lord wants to do crazy things with your life. And you get an opportunity. And you can either allow him to be that strength and to work in your life. Or you can go, man, I want the possibility of failure, and I'm going to turn around, walk the other way. Here's one of the best things you can kind of encourage yourself with failure. And that is, you're going to fail. If you adjust your expectations, it makes life a lot easier. That's where a lot of discouragement and disappointment comes from. If you expect not to fail, you're going to be disappointed. If you're ready to fail, when you fail, you're not surprised. It doesn't bother you that much. You know, and this is not a license to sin, but a preparation of our hearts for the fact that this is a battle. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be wins. There's going to be losses. We don't arrive. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we have this desire that, man, one of these days I'll figure it out. We're not going to figure it out. The Lord was desiring to build brokenness in your life. Pastor Ed talked about this yesterday. Sometimes we fail repeatedly, not because, you know, we're not figuring it out, but because God desires failure in our life to teach us brokenness and dependence. And so there's a few verses I wanted to bring up. One of them is Proverbs 24:16 that says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Another verse that sticks out to me is 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And this is Paul speaking. He's talking about the thorn in the flesh. And he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" That verse right there, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you." The Bible is full of God's grace. The Bible is full of God restoring and forgiving people. Peter, David, all these men who fall short. And they have the right heart before the Lord. And he just doesn't hesitate. His grace is so much bigger than we can imagine. So often we're like, man, Lord, you got to be so disappointed and discouraged in me. I can't be near you right now. He's going, what the heck? I'm not surprised. I'm not discouraged. I'm not disappointed. I saw it coming. I've already dealt with it on the cross. You're forgiven. Move on. We're just so hungry to just push them away. Oh, man, Lord, you can't love me. And we just push them away. And I think it comes because we have this expectation that we can somehow do it in ourselves. We expect we're not going to fail. We'll expect to fail, man. The things the Lord did in your heart this weekend, you're going to fail at some of them. You know, if the Lord put it on your heart to stop yelling at your wife, you're probably going to yell at your wife again. It's going to happen. So what are you going to do when that happens? Are you going to get frustrated? Are you going to get discouraged? Are you going to let condemnation come upon you and let the devil just derail you? Or are you going to go, Lord, you know what? I failed. Cool. It's a reminder. I need more of you. I need to seek you more. Will you allow it to teach you dependence and humility? Or are you going to allow it to teach you to rest in him?
So, you know, there's a couple other verses that came to mind with this. One of them is David speaks about in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. And this is a psalm when David's at his lowest point. He's failed the worst he could fail. He's murdered a man. He's committed adultery. And he's coming before the Lord, expressing his sorrow and asking for forgiveness. And it says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." This reminds me of Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, which Pastor Larry talked about yesterday. Humility, a contrite spirit, a trembling at the word of God. That's what the Lord desires in our lives so he can use us. You know, the difference between Saul and David, Saul's kind of this big failure, right? And the knucklehead, and he eventually, you know, went crazy. He did all these crazy things, and the Lord removed him from his role as king, and he was eventually killed by his sin. David is this man that God says is a man after my own heart. But you know what? If you look at their lives, some of the sins David committed are worse than the sins Saul committed. What's the difference between the two of them? Saul consistently feared men. He cared more about what men thought than what God thought. Okay, Samuel would come and say, "God is really disappointed with you." And Saul would say, "That's fine, whatever. Just don't tell anybody. Just go and make me look good because I'm worried about what people think." You know? And that's the difference. You know, here, and we're talking about brokenness. Whenever David sinned and it was brought before him, he had a brokenness of heart. If you read through the Psalms, you just see a broken heart, a contrite spirit, a trembling at the word of God, a trusting in the Lord, a desire to be just sold out for him. And that's the difference between those two. And we want to be like David. We want to be a man after God's own heart. Just be prepared for failure. Be prepared for it and allow the Lord to work in your life. You know, one of the ways I could see this happening is, you know, we all have this desire to grow closer in the Lord. And, you know, a lot of you have probably made commitments in your heart to spend more time in the Word. And you won't regret that commitment because the Lord wants the same thing. And that's how you're going to grow, is being in His Word, because His Spirit can speak to you and He strengthens you. And Psalm 119:11 says, "I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's the way God speaks to us and works in our lives. But, you know, you're like, "Man, I'm going to spend 20 minutes in prayer and 20 minutes in the Word every morning." And Monday morning, you'll probably do great. Tuesday morning, you'll probably do good. But Wednesday, you're going to be late for work, and you're going to have like 3 minutes. And Thursday, you're not going to do it. And you're going to have an opportunity to deal with your failure. And that's just an example. But what are you going to do then? Are you going to be discouraged? Are you going to feel like a failure? Are you just going to go back at it and go, "Lord, help me. Give me the strength. I can't do this in my flesh. I can't do this carnally. I need your Spirit to give me a desire to be in the Word. I need your Spirit to give me a hunger to wake up early." You know, Avan's not here, but I know he ministered to a lot of you guys, and he's such a blessing. But you know what? He tells me sometimes that the Lord wakes him up at 3 a.m. and won't let him go back to sleep because he wants him in the Word. And then he's praying for us, man. You'll get a text from him saying, "I'm praying for you." That's what we desire in our lives, is for the Lord to wake us up and not allow us to go back to bed in the morning, to be in the Word. That's how you get consistent with your time with the Word, is that the Lord would put that burning desire in you, man. I want to be a man like Avan. That's a guy I look up to, man. Pastor Ed talked about a guy you should follow. Avan's that guy. Look at him. Look at how he ministers to people. Look at how he lives his life. And, you know, the Lord just gets a hold of his heart and uses him to minister to so many. And it's that the Lord gave him that desire. So, you know, as we head back down the mountain, you know, these retreats are so good. We get away from the distractions, from the noises, from the burdens, from finances, from fights with the wife and the kids screaming, from the car breaking down. There's so many things that getting up here gets us away from. And we're able to just hear from the Lord and be filled and be encouraged. You know, I kind of think of it like maybe what it feels like to go to boot camp, although this is probably a lot more fun than boot camp. But you know, when you get done with boot camp, I got to imagine you're 18, you're in insane shape, they've made you into a man, you know how to shoot a gun, you're ready to go fight a war. And I'm sure you walk out of that boot camp just ready to take on the world. Nothing can stop you. You're looking for a fight. You're looking for somebody to go beat up just because you just got that adrenaline, that testosterone pumping through your blood. You're fired up. You got that courage, right? And then you get into the battlefield. And the first time a bullet whizzes by your head, it changes everything. You know, I mean, guys who've been in war don't talk about it. It's terrifying. You know, and I've never gotten to experience that, but you know, I gotta imagine that there's a parallel here. We go, come up here, we get encouraged in the Lord, we feel so close to Him, there's amazing worship, we're free of distractions. And yet we're gonna go back down the road, and it might take an hour, it might take 10 hours, it might take a few days. There's gonna be a bullet whizzing by your head. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I'd come up to these retreats, and I'd come down and I felt like, man, I love God so much, I'll never sin again. I mean, I'm just so close to Him. It's going to be easy. And, you know, within a few days, I was just absolutely discouraged. Because it was like life was so real. And I thought He was going to do this amazing work in my life. And it's hard and it's not easy. And I'm failing and I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. And, you know, it's something the Lord really just was speaking to me with you guys. Is that encouragement you've received up here, it's going to be attacked. The work He's done in your life is going to be attacked. So be ready for it. Be ready for fear. Be ready for failure. You know, that the definition of courage was, it talked about all the different circumstances we come into. The quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, discomfort, humiliation, failure without fear through trusting in the Lord. And it's not a matter of your circumstances getting easier. It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of trusting the Lord. If your eyes are on the Lord, it doesn't matter what happens when you get back. When things are difficult, when you fail, you can trust in the Lord because He's what your relationship is built on. And one final verse I want to leave with you guys is Philippians 1:6. And it's such an encouraging word. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the hope we have, that He's going to finish what He started here. And our job is just to trust in Him to do that. Don't get derailed. Don't get discouraged. Be ready for fear. Be ready for difficulty. And trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the privilege of being up here, for the chance to just study Your word, to have some amazing worship, to build some relationships, Lord. Be reminded of Your love for us, Lord. And we pray You would prepare our hearts for the battle ahead, Lord. We desire to be men of courage. We desire to lead our families to impact this world that is in desperate need for men of God who are courageous and ready to change this world. That's just, man, they're on a bullet train to hell, Lord. And there's just so many things happening. And Lord, the world needs men who are courageous, men who are sold out for You, Lord. And I pray that would be us, Lord, that Your Spirit would do a work in our lives, that You would strengthen us and encourage us, that You prepare us for the ups and downs. We'd reminded that our walk with You is not about emotions. It's not about our circumstances. It's about trusting in the truth of Your word, Lord, that You love us and You have a plan for our lives. You will be faithful to finish what You've completed, Lord, that we can trust in You and rest in Your sufficiency, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for these men and for myself, Lord, that we would just be encouraged, we'd be strengthened, and that You would use our lives, Lord, and that we could hear, well done, good and faithful servant, Lord. We love You, Lord. We pray You bless the food that's coming ahead, Lord, and just give us a safe drive back down the mountain. It's Your name we pray. Amen.